So this time last Sunday, on Palm Sunday, we were right here. We were talking about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem and our responsibility to not miss the proverbial forest for the palm trees. And we mentioned palm trees because it was Palm Sunday. We were strongly encouraged to put our focus on Jesus and take the onus off of us in our current struggles and trials and ordeals. Meanwhile, while all this was happening in Covell, a major, and I use that word figuratively and literally, a major story was brewing. A golfer named Tiger Woods, perhaps one of the greatest athletes of our era, was about to win his fifth green jacket and Masters Championship, his 81st PGA Tour victory, as commentator Jim Nantz so eloquently put it in his perfect golf voice. It was Tiger Woods' return to glory. Well, today, folks, I ask you this. How many people recognize that guy named Tiger Woods? You see, you don't have to follow golf. You don't have to love golf. You literally may never have played golf, but when you see that guy, he kind of is the forest among all the trees. When it comes to athletes, people would say, I know him. I think he does something with golf, but I don't maybe know his name. Well, let me tell you, his name is Tiger Woods, and we celebrated, and he celebrated, and everybody celebrated on that day. Golf fans shouted, and they chanted, Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. They cheered, they applauded. Their focus on that day was on one of golf's greatest. And for everyone watching, we or they can say, we didn't miss the forest. Rather, on Master Sunday, we just watched one of sport's all-time best. Well, today, folks, is Resurrection Day. Victory Sunday, the culmination of Jesus' triumphal entry up to his celebrated victory. Today we celebrate, today we cheer. It wouldn't be unusual for us to chant, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And if you want to do it, you can. It wouldn't be that weird. But I ask you this. I ask you this because Jim Nantz said that there was a return to glory. And folks, I ask you, do you see the glory that Jesus Christ gets and that God gets because of what Jesus did? You see, Jesus did something. For him, what was done, and what was won was won. And so today, we have an incredible victory. Today, we are filled with hope, and today, we are given an amazing amount of peace because of what Jesus accomplished. The question is, are we still cheering, and are we still celebrating? As we celebrate this victory by Jesus, and in a continued effort to not miss the proverbial forest for the trees, I want us to look closely and focus intently on the rest of Jesus' resurrection story before he ascends in glory to heaven. Now, there's a lot there, and so we don't want to miss it. Now, here's what we know. Last week, we talked about Jesus' prophecies and his people's consternation. Remember, they really didn't know what was happening, and I don't think they fully understood what was going to happen. We talked about Jesus received praise and his people's confusion. Remember, they thought that maybe he was a savior, but definitely they considered him to be their ruler and their avenger of Rome. And then finally, we saw this offered peace and the coming chaos that Jesus prophesied among his people. Well, today, we're going to add to this on this Easter Sunday. If we want, let's look at our Easter Sunday sermon text, which comes from Luke 24, 36 through 53. And I want to do this. As we're reading this, I'm going to encourage you not only to follow along on the screen in your Bibles, but I'm also going to show you the rest of the story with all apologies to Paul Harvey. You see, as we did last week, I don't want to miss the crux of the text and that forest from those trees. And so here's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus closely as we read this on Jesus and his proof and his promise and his purpose and his power, and the praise that was shown in his last days prior to his ascension. Let's read it. Starting with verse 36. It says, and just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them and greeted them. But the whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened, he asked. Why do you doubt that it is really I? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it is I myself. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost. For ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see the marks of the nails and showed them the wounds in his feet. Still, they stood there undecided, filled with joy and doubt. Then he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, when I was with you before, don't you remember my telling you that everything written about me by Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must all come true? Then he opened their minds to understand, at last these many scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that this message of salvation should be taken from Jerusalem to all the nations. There is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. You have seen these prophecies come true. And now I will send the Holy Spirit upon you, just as my Father promised. Don't begin telling others yet. Stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Then Jesus led them out along the road to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them and began rising into the sky and went on to heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem filled with mighty joy and were continually in the temple praising God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, especially on this day. Well, today, folks, is indeed a day of praise. It is a day of celebration. It's a day of victory. It's a day of happiness. You see, in many ways, we see this. In many days, we apply this. If you go to ball games, you do this. If you go to concerts, you shout like this. This is something that we are accustomed to. You see, last week, we celebrated Tiger. But today, we celebrate our risen Savior. And we don't need to be on a golf course to do it. We don't need to be in a church to do it. We will always be doing it wherever we go and whatever we do. You see, as believers and obedient followers and lovers of Jesus, we have been saved from death to life. Now, let me give you an example of what this victory looks like. Because we have many people here that have either battled cancer, who are battling cancer, or who, better yet, have beaten cancer. And when that person rang that proverbial bell, I can tell you this, every single person that's affiliated with that person celebrated that victory. If you play sports, if your kids play sports, and you've lost to the same team your entire career, and finally you beat the team that beat you all of those years, you will celebrate victory. For those of us who remember when the slaves were slaves, as you read the history books and you see what they endured, and when they were finally freed, they tasted victory. For those who went off to wars and fought for our country, and when they came home and we recognized them and we honored them and we said thank you for the victory. And today, for every single person that's steeped in sin and says, I don't want to be steeped in sin. I want to know eternal life. I want to have eternal life. And we recognize God's Son. I tell you this today you are offered victory. Paul said of Jesus in 2 Timothy 1:10, he says, the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ broke the power of death and showed us the way of everlasting life through trusting him. Trusting him provokes us to celebrate him and praise him. Now I'm going to look at 52 and 53 of our sermon text one more time. It says, and they worshiped him, there's praise, and they returned to Jerusalem filled with mighty joy, praise, and were continually in the temple praising God. This was not an occasion of anything more than worship and celebration and praise and victory. That's what it was. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 verse 3, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish. And today, on this Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, believers and obedient followers of Jesus Christ understand praise. We have life. Now, many people will say, I don't get it. Why are all the people so happy? I don't understand it. Y'all look so happy. And I don't know that I feel so happy. Let me give you an example of this. Because in many cases, we just got to put it within our own little wheelhouse. So let me create for you a wheelhouse. You go home tonight. I don't know what your news source is. Maybe it's MSN, NBC, CBS, Fox News. I don't know what it is. Can you imagine for a moment, if you go home tonight, you're sitting in front of your computer, on your TV, wherever you access that source, and all of a sudden there's a news flash that comes across and says, scientist has discovered a way to have eternal life. And many of you would say, yeah, right, okay. In fact, you'd be thinking I'm reading the Onion or National Enquirer and not anything like that. And then the next day you get up and you look and you see the same news source, but the story's expanded. It says, it is now, we believe, confirmed that people, human beings, can enjoy eternal life. And you say, come on, nobody's believing it, nobody's buying it. And then days after days after days, it continues to happen. You read it, you see it, and ultimately, after enough days, you'll start to believe it. And you'll call that scientist, you'll try to find that scientist, you'll do anything you can to increase and enhance your life. And the scientist says, not only have I found the cure for death, But I have found a way not only to give you eternal life, I found a way to improve your life and to enhance your life and give you joy and celebration. No more disease, no more sickness, no more pain in this life. And I'm going to assure you today, you would praise that scientist. You would be grateful for that scientist. You would celebrate that scientist, and for every sick person in your family, for every person who's struggling within your circle of friends or even enemies, for everybody, I would say this, you'd celebrate and you would praise. That, folks, is what we do today, because there is one person who figured out how to give man eternal life. And for every single person here who says everything matters in this life, I can tell you there's more to this life than this life. Does that make you happy? Does that make you want to give praise and celebrate? Does that give you a feeling of victory? Today is a day to do just that. You see, the question is, are we truly offering praise in the same way our recognizable athletes and entertainers and our major life victories get it? On Palm Sunday, there, the Israelites' praise was steeped in confusion. They didn't know if he was a king, a savior, a conqueror, or avenger of Rome. But I think they thought this. They probably thought, I'm not sure, or maybe I don't. Maybe I'm sure he's not their savior. But today that confusion is replaced with confirmation. You see, today we come into this church and we know. We're certain of it. We know it. And that's why we celebrate and we praise him for it. We have proof of his resurrection. You see, if we're familiar with praise on Easter Sunday, there is proof of Jesus rising on this day. And you say, show me the proof, and let me show you the proof. If you look at verses 38 through 48 of this passage, you will be given proof. If you say, I want to know more about this eternal life, I can tell you this book offers proof. Paul takes it a step further. In 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8, he says this. He says, he was seen by Peter and the rest of the 12. Most of us would say, well, that's enough. If 12 people saw him, I mean, that's enough. But Paul goes on. He says, after that, he was seen by more than 500 Christian brothers at one time. Folks, that's a small community. He wasn't done there. He says, then James saw him, and then later all the apostles, and last of all, me, Paul, I saw him too. Now, why is this proof so important? Because he doesn't want you to miss who he is. He wants you to believe it. Regarding praise, he wants us to offer it, but to really do this, you must believe in him to do it. Let me give you an example of this. I got a friend who does not like Tiger Woods. I mean it all. And one of the worst days was last Sunday for my friend who watched Tiger Woods win. He was so upset. Now let me tell you how much he doesn't like Tiger Woods. You see, the bottom line is he never believed that Tiger could ever win again. And so he literally thought that this would never happen again. But when Tiger won, here's what happened. He offered no praise because he still didn't believe it. You see, when we don't believe in something, it's hard to celebrate something, and it's hard to praise someone or that something. Today, if you believe in Jesus, you'll praise Jesus. Today, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you celebrate the victory of Jesus. You see, the proof offers the praise. And today, we offer that same kind of praise. English writer John Heywood, who was the one who coined the idiom, which started this sermon text from last week, he says, ye can't see the wood from the trees. Remember later, it was changed to forest. Can't see the forest from the trees. That's the best. But here's what he was saying, and today we apply it. This reminds us to focus on the big picture, the reality of the resurrection of our Savior and the very proof that Jesus provided. The question is, do you believe it? Are you focused on it, and are you praising God for it? Let me throw out one more idiom. The proof is in the pudding. I've never understood that one. And I like pudding, but I don't get it. But I will tell you this. If we're talking about proof, let me make sure you understand this. The proof is in the writing, the proof is in the reading, and the proof is in the believing. And if you need proof, if you say, Pastor, prove it to me, I'm going to say, I can prove it to you because of what God wrote to you. This is it, and this is our proof. And I don't need pudding to show it. Jack Nicklaus, winner of 6 green jackets and master championships, once said this about Tiger Woods in 2017. Nicklaus said, I never thought he'd play again. According to CBS sports writer Kyle Porter, even Tiger didn't know if he would play golf again. On Sunday, April 14th, seeing was believing. amidst the Augusta National greens and the lush fairways and that dense forest with all those beautiful azalea trees, Tiger Woods did something that most men never thought he could do. He proved that he might still be the best. He proved that in the world of golf, he was the forest. On this Easter Sunday, on this Resurrection Day, on this Victory Day, Jesus proved that he still is the best. And he always will be. And if we can chant and shout and cheer Tiger, why in the world would we not be cheering and shouting and celebrating for our risen Savior? Because today, we have victory. Today, we look around and we see of what God has done for each and every one of us through Jesus. This is what we get. The question is, do you believe this? In John 2:18, at the onset of Jesus' ministry, the unbelieving Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all of this?" And Jesus calmly said, "Destroy this temple." Now he was talking about his body, not the building. They love their temple. He said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." His proof? His resurrected life. Folks, our proof is the book, the living word, John 1:4, his life, the word. Do we believe this? Because if we do, then we are going to believe, here's what's next, we're going to believe his promise. Proof, praise, and promise. So what is that promise? Look at 44 and 46. I think it's interesting. Jesus tells his disciples, he said, "When I was with you before, don't you remember me telling you that everything written about me by Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must all come true?" But he takes it a step further. In 46, he says, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day." Everything written about his Jesus' life and death came true. Acts 13, 32 and 33 shows us this. Paul shared this. In fact, in Romans 4:24, he expands on this. He says, "We believe the promise of God who brought back Jesus, our Lord, from the dead." And yet this post-resurrection promise goes even deeper, and I don't want to miss this. So let's look at 49. Verse 49 is important. Jesus says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit upon you, just as my Father promised." Now this is big, folks. This is a game changer. You see, this promise was seen in Joel 2, 28 and 29. In John 14, 15 through 21, in John 16, 5 through 16, Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. He would come after Jesus was resurrected and after he was ascended, and he would comfort and he would lead and he would convict and he would teach and he would bring praise to Jesus. And I'm going to ask you this, and I don't do this. So if you think, "Oh, it's one of those churches," we're not one of those churches. But I got to do this because I believe this. You see, I believe that because of the promise, we have the proof, and because of the proof, we can show praise. And I am curious, and you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but I'm going to raise my hand really high. Because when we talk about the Holy Spirit, and we talk about his promise coming, and his promise indwelling, and his promise filling, my question is, did you feel the same way I did? Didn't you feel different? Didn't you see something different? You see, the promise of the Holy Spirit changes us. It impacts us. It helps us in everything that we say and do. And so for people who would say, "Yeah, that was me. I didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. But when I experienced the Holy Spirit, something different changed. I realized and experienced a change." You see, this is what he does. We can't miss these promises that are written in his word. You say, "What is the Holy Spirit?" I tell you, I will introduce you to the Holy Spirit when you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and are indwelt and filled by the Holy Spirit when you believe in him and trust him and love him and live for him. And you'll experience something like you've never experienced, and you will taste victory. And people say, "Why are they so happy?" And I can tell you that's why we're happy. Because the Holy Spirit has filled us and indwelt us and is here for us. You see, when this happens, we don't miss the promises that are written in his word. And we see the value and the life-changing passion and efforts that are shared in his word. The Holy Spirit has promised his word brings us to our Lord. Let me give an example of this. This is a true story shared by Walter B. Knight. He says a soldier had been mortally wounded when Pearl Harbor was attacked. He lingered for a few days in a hospital. There a chaplain gave him a New Testament. Before the soldier died, the chaplain visited him again. Said that dying soldier to the chaplain, "Just as I was leaving home, my mother put her arms on my shoulders and said, 'Son, if anything should happen that you do not return, I have comfort in knowing that I'll see you up yonder in glory.' I bowed my head and said, 'Mother, I'm not a Christian, and I cannot tell you that I will see you again if anything should happen.' I left my mother weeping with a heavy heart." Mother's a very devout Christian. "Sir, I have called you to do me a favor today. After I am gone, write my mother telling her that I found the Lord by reading this little testament that you gave me, and that I will be waiting for her up yonder." Now let me tell you about that story. See, that's a man who accepted the promise. That's a man who accepted the proof, and that's a man who was going to give God praise. And let me tell you, a mother who would be grieving was going to be able to give her father praise. Why? Because that man believed the promise. Today, folks, we have a promise. You see, our focus is on Jesus. His proof is his promise of the Holy Spirit. And next, this is our next P word. Next, our power that comes from him. Let's look at verse 49 and let's look at the second part of verse 49. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "Don't begin telling others yet. Stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you," here's your word, "with power from heaven." In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus says this. He says, "When the Holy Spirit has come upon you," he's telling his people, he says, "you will receive power to testify about me with great effect to the people in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth about my death and resurrection." Folks, I think so oftentimes we miss the forest for the trees. And by that I mean we offer praise, but we miss his power. We come to church on Easter Sunday. We say, "God, I did my part. See you next year." It's how we handle it, right? It's how we do it. We say, "Well, I was there. I mean, I closed my eyes when he prayed, and I sang quietly when we sung, and I opened my Bible when he told me to read, and so I feel like I praise you." And I say that when we receive the power from the Holy Spirit, we can do things we never thought we could do. You see, this power changes us. This power moves inside of us. And let me tell you something. We need this power. If we don't have the power, we can't see the big picture. We can't perform, and we cannot succeed in God's big picture. We need this power. Paul says in Galatians 3:14, he says, "All of us Christians have the promised Holy Spirit through his faith." The promises of power through faith by God's grace. So let me ask you this. Why do we need this power? Most people today who are not believers would say, "Come on, man. Power? Really? What's this power?" Why must we, like the disciples, be filled by and with the power of the Holy Spirit? Why do we need it? William Barclay calls it the secret power. Why do we need it? Why must we long for this power? And let me tell you why. Because we must go and tell others about our risen Savior. And you will need the power to do it. Look at verse 47. Jesus says this message of salvation should be taken from Jerusalem to all the nations. There is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. You see, this power is what we need. If you ever try to go out and you ever try to share the power of Jesus or the message of Jesus or the word of Jesus, I can tell you, if you don't have the power, you will feel like a failure. But when you have the power, we can change the world. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit, folks, for as long as we've existed, has changed the world. For people who have been stricken with disease and they go in and they smile, even when it's terrible, I can tell you it's the power of the Holy Spirit that changes their world. We have people that come in here and they are miraculously healed. And they walk in and they say, "It's because I go to Covell." And I say this, I say, "It's because of the power of the Holy Spirit that fills this church and all the churches worldwide, because we believe in the power. We need it." And if you're going to go out and you're going to share the message of healing and salvation, if you're going to go out and share the message of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection and ascension, I'm going to tell you, you will need the power. My daughter, Jada, right now she's in a fierce storm, man. 14 years old, and that girl is a rock. And in her school, believe it or not, in her school, there are people that probably don't care about Jesus and don't want to hear about Jesus. But I am so proud of my daughter for staying close to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, my 14-year-old daughter, she needs that power. And if my 14-year-old daughter needs that power, let me tell you something. Every single adult, every single person attending churches worldwide today, you better have that power. It's available to us. This power helps us to accomplish the last word of our discussion today. It has the power to accomplish God's purpose of telling the world about Jesus. Praise, proof, promise, power, purpose. He kept his promise. Are we willing to keep ours? Now you ask, what is ours? What is our purpose? Let me tell you what our purpose is. Romans 10, 9 and 10. For if you tell others, did you hear this? For if you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your own heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Listen to this. For it is by believing in a man's heart that he becomes right with God. But here's where it gets really good. And with his mouth, he tells others of his faith. And this is where it gets even better. Confirming his salvation. You see, folks, it's more than just coming to church. We got to be the church. We got to share Jesus Christ who founded the church. The greatest church ever established was the first church ever established. Why do I say that? Because a megachurch was built in one day. 3,000 people. We've been here for 106 years. We have 150 people. What are we doing wrong? 3,000 people in one day. You want to know how it happened? Let me tell you how it happened. These guys weren't special. In fact, these guys never even considered themselves special. They were people, but they had power. And they understood their purpose given to them by Jesus. And in one day, 3,000 people were saved. And on that day, all those people praised God. And that's how it happened. I look at us today and I say, we can be the same people. You see, folks, our purpose is to share Jesus. This is part of our commitment and it's part of our promise. Do we do this? Do we miss this? Sometimes I think we dismiss this. In many cases, we say, well, I'll believe. Pastor, that's easy to do. I'll believe. But I don't want to share. You're telling me I got to go out and share, and I'm going to say, if you're going to share, you're going to need power to understand that purpose. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, he says, if anyone publicly acknowledges me as his friend, I will openly acknowledge him as my friend before my Father in heaven. But if anyone publicly denies me, I will openly deny him before my Father in heaven. It sounds like a promise, and it sounds like a purpose, and we can't miss this. Oftentimes, the forest of our faith is oftentimes missed and lost in the trees of negativity. I can't, I won't, I don't. So often we say, wait a second, you want me to go out and talk about Jesus? I don't think so. I'm not comfortable doing it in my own home, right? You expect me to go outside of my home and do this, talk about Jesus? And I'm saying, this book, God's Word, tells us to share and talk about Jesus. This is what we're called to do. Many people said Tiger Woods cannot do it. Perhaps even Tiger Woods thought it. But those fans, they cheered loudly and wildly when he won his fifth green jacket. Folks, Tiger Woods did it. Jesus was victorious over death, which means that we can, when we believe in him and live for him and love him, we can have eternal life. Do we want this? Do we understand this? Or are we missing the proverbial forest for those trees that destroy our faith and reduce our God-directed praise and seemingly overtake our sin-ridden lives? We must want this purpose. We must love this purpose, and we must be willing to fulfill this purpose given to us by Jesus. And so often on Easter Sunday, we just stop at the resurrection. We fail to see God's big picture and the remaining days of Jesus' life on earth before his ascension to heaven. We miss it. A pastor, a famous pastor, was interviewed this week, and he was on the radio, and so they were getting ready for Easter week, and they said, Pastor, and it was a guy you would know, and they said, Pastor, we got a question for you. What's your message going to be this week? And he said, oh, I don't know. I think I'm probably going to share something about this thing called the resurrection. And everybody laughed. And it's what everybody's doing today, folks. Everybody's talking. Every single church in the world should be, probably is, talking about the resurrection. Today we talk about the resurrection. But today you get the message that goes beyond the resurrection. Because so many people will say, well, Jesus lives, but what about me? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? And I can tell you that God's word tells us how to live, earthly and eternally, forever and ever. This is the promise that comes from Jesus. Don't miss his proof of his resurrection, which is important to know as we reach out to unbelieving man. The question is, do we believe it? In many cases, I think we miss the promise that he gave to his disciples and to us. The question is, do we trust? We don't see his power made manifest through the Holy Spirit. My question is, do we long for it? And thus we miss his purpose for us, which is going out and reaching and teaching and leading others to Jesus. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the great commission given to us by Jesus. The question is, do we fulfill it? We cannot let the things of life, the fears of life, our challenges in life, steal from us a great big picture that's written about in Scripture of eternal life. It is our greatest victory, and it can be celebrated today if we only choose to believe and love and obediently live for, according to God's Son and our Word that we read and that we read and share today, that we can celebrate our risen Lord and Savior today. Instead of tiger, maybe today we ought to leave saying this out loud in the confines of your own home or your car: Savior, Savior, Savior. Because today he deserves that praise. Today he's the victor. Today we celebrate our Savior. It's his victory. And with all due respect to the golden voice of Jim Nance, it's for God's glory. We've already shared one Easter season idiom. John Heywood, that ancient English writer who said so many years ago, "You can't see the wood for the trees." That was later changed to forest, which I think was the best. Then we shared a second idiom. That was, "The proof is in the pudding." And we said, well, no, really, the proof is in the writing, and your proof will be in your reading. Well, folks, on this Easter Sunday, a day in which we are prone to miss face force for our Easter, not Savior-related activities, I'm going to share one more famous idiom, and then I promise, for the remaining years of my tenure at Covell Community Church, I will never again read another idiom. For this, I promise. You will never hear "proof is in the pudding" for us from the trees. You'll never hear anything else, but I've got to do this one more because it's Easter Sunday and it applies. So here we go. But I'm going to share it and I'm going to change it because it needs to be changed. One more time. Here we go. So this is one that originated in 1605. I was an English minor in college, but I never really liked reading in college. And for all the books that I had to read, I never read this famous book. 1605, a guy named Miguel Cervantes. If you're an English guy, if you're a reading guy, or a reading woman, if you like old books and old history, you're going to know exactly what this is. Many of you will say, "Miguel Cervantes, doesn't he play shortstop for the Astros?" No, that's the wrong guy. Miguel Cervantes, 1605, he wrote a book, one of the most famous books ever written, called Don Quixote. And here was what he said. Cervantes says, "It is the part of a wise man to keep himself today for tomorrow and not venture all his eggs in one basket." Now you ask, why do I share it? Because it just fits perfectly with Easter Sunday, but I'm going to change it. Folks, today we are called to put all of our proverbial eggs, even our Easter eggs, even those malted milk eggs, in Jesus' basket. Every one of your eggs should always be in Jesus' basket. The question is, will you do it? And when we do it, we will remember his proof and his promise and our purpose through his power as we praise our risen Savior. Today I encourage you, forget about the pudding. Don't worry about the forest from the trees. But remember this, because so many people are focused on their Easter baskets and their eggs. And I tell you this, put all your eggs in Jesus' basket. Trust it. Rely upon it. And see what happens when you do it. And you'll experience victory like you've never experienced. And today, I encourage you, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, if you say, you know what, this makes sense because I want eternal life, do this today. When we bow our heads for this upcoming prayer, pray to the Lord and say something like this: "Father, I've sinned. Father, you know I'm a sinner, and Father, I'm guilty as a sinner, but Father, I need a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. And so, Father, today I'm going to ask you to come into my life and change my life. Because, Father, today I choose to believe in your Son. Father, today I choose to love your Son. And, Father, today I choose to live for your Son, not only on this Easter Sunday, but every day." And from there, I'm going to tell you, we'll follow up with you. We're going to encourage you not only to read what was written, but to live what was written. And I promise you this, your life will be changed if you allow this to happen. If you want to join us here at the front of the church for a pastoral prayer, come forward now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us victory. We get so immersed in the things of this world. We watch sports on TV, we watch movies and we cheer, we go to our kids' ball games and we shout. But today, Father, today we give you the glory, because today you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you secured our victory. And so, Father, today we give you all the praise that's due you, and we thank you. Because today we celebrate a risen Savior. Today we recognize a resurrected life. And today we realize that when we choose to believe in your Son and live for your Son and love your Son, that we can have eternal life. We are reminded today that there is more to life than this life. Father, I pray today on this Easter Sunday that we will share you, talk about you. That I pray that we will be open about others with you. And I pray today that when people ask us about our faith and why we're so happy and why we always seemingly are experiencing victory, that we can say it's because of what Jesus has done for me. Father, we love you with all of our hearts and we thank you. And today I pray that you will change our hearts. Help us to be repentant, which means to have a change of heart and mind, and help us to be obedient, which means to do what you've called us to do according to your word and will. Father, I pray today that you would help us, save us, change us. I ask today that you'll be with every single person that's listed on our bulletin. I thank you for the efforts of our Good Friday prayer vigil prayer warriors. I thank you for allowing us to come in here in this church on Friday and pray for all those people who need help, including our own needs. Father, today I pray that you'll address all these needs, and we give you the praise and the glory. Today I ask that you will work in their lives. I pray that you'll give them hope in their lives, and I pray that they'll trust in you. And I pray, Father, for every single church that's meeting today. I pray that you will fill their sanctuaries with the Holy Spirit, and I pray today that they would experience the power of a risen Savior. We ask this according to your will. We thank you for every blessing you give us. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing with our final song today. Here for our Holy Communion service, and one of the things we talked about, and it was, I think it was really an eye-opener for a lot of us, and we say, well, wait a second, why do I need the victory? Life's going well for me. And I can tell you, folks, that you're going to need that victory, because one day you're going to be standing over the bed of your father, your mother, your loved one, and you'll look in their eyes and you'll hope that they are going to heaven. And today I'm guessing a lot of us are thinking about those individuals and the fact that they're in heaven. And I can promise you this, if they have secured the victory, it'll be one of the greatest experiences that you'll ever have in your life when you think about that loved one who's going on to eternal life. It's a promise that is given to us in His Word. And I think about this, and I think about the responsibility that we have to our children. That when we, as parents, are laying in that bed, or wherever we're at, and our children are looking at us, that they will have the same assurance to know that we are moving on and living eternally with Jesus. This is that victory. Folks, today, celebrate that victory. And for every one of you who's lost a loved one, but they've gone on and you didn't lose them, Jesus found them and Jesus welcomed them. Today they're immersed in that victory. Do not leave this church without having that victory. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the food that's being assembled over in this new building. We thank you for the time that's been put in by all of our leaders and volunteers. We're grateful for each and every one of them and the work that they've done. Father, I thank you for the work that you've done. Father, I pray today that you'll continue to help us to walk on your path. Father, I pray today that we will give our lives to your Son. And I pray today that you would fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray today that we would leave this church as those who have won. And I ask it according to your will. We pray for blessings upon the food and beverages that are being served over there, that they would nourish and strengthen our bodies. And we pray that you'll be with each and every person gathered here today, that we will take this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Day, and that we will celebrate not only today, but every day that you give us life on this earth as you prepare us for eternal life in heaven. Thank you for this great day that you've given us. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. God bless everyone. See you in the new building.